route the mainframe to the server wire Ethernet port floppy disk. Welcome to episode 14 of Podigis, your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Hello.
And Asher Softman.
Yo.
This week, we're wrapping up Digimon Adventure and discussing the first season of Digimon as a whole. So here's a quick recap.
7 young kids go to camp for the summer, wind up living in the digital land.
Where everybody gets to meet his own Digimonster, a digital companion, a digital friend.
A Digimon in training will digivolve to rookie, and digivolve to champion in Ultimate 2.
I'm going to save the digital world for me. I'm going to save the digital world for you.
So first off, we have some Podigis announcements. First of which is the fact that this is the last episode of the batch that we recorded back in June, which is over 4 months ago now. And, oh god.
And it's the last one of season one.
Last episode of season one. It's taken longer to release this episode than I would have liked, and that's all on me. And just being busy in life in general. After this episode, we're going to take another bit of a break. Hopefully not as long as the break between... hopefully not as long as the break between episode 13 and 14. A couple weeks off, just to have a clear division between season 1 and season 2. And yeah, we're going to be mixing up some things for season 2, doing some cool stuff. And another Podigis announcement, if we can even call it that. There was this hashtag on Twitter a little over a week ago, which was hashtag explain an anime plot badly. And so I tweeted this explanation of Adventure, which was... An old man kidnaps 8 kids, uploads them to the internet to service his antivirus software. And this one for 02, which was, the old man uploads 4 more kids as antivirus software, but he looks young now, and one of the kids is Hitler.
That's offensive.
It's not offensive. Ken is totally Hitler. Anyway, one of our fans on Twitter, ShawneeMac23, replied with his own for Tamers, which was, man who wears sunglasses at night, hates kids card game, decides to eliminate it by putting on a cool light show, it backfires. These are all really cool. So, well, I guess I wrote two of them, so I shouldn't talk about the cool. Anyway.
Wow.
The reason I want to bring up now is because I thought people might find them funny. And more importantly, because I want the fans of the show to send their own suggestions for similar things. If you have other funny ways of putting it, or for the other seasons,
like Frontier, Savers. Jeff.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, if you have summaries for Frontier, Savers, Cross Wars, any of them. Tweet them at us on Twitter.
You're allowed to do Adventure because everybody wants to do Adventure.
Yeah. If you can do it better than I did.
Which you can.
If you accept the challenge. So on to Digimon news for not just the podcast. We got the massive, huge reveal.
Oh my god. Kari grew along with Ty. It's crazy.
So I hope we didn't confuse anyone by making it seem like this is actually a reveal, because the reveal is the silhouette of Kari / Hikari for the new season, standing next to Ty. And she's
taller.
She's still shorter than Ty, though, and she still has short hair.
Of course.
But yeah, there's very little information. There'll be a link in the show notes to the news story about this, which has the scan from the magazine, which is... She's tall. Yeah, and in other news, the Digimon All-Star Rumble is coming out soon. I think it's coming out on November 3rd. Sorry, it's coming out November 11th, I believe. And there was a stream, as we record this today, that was showing off the game. So I'll have a link in the show notes to this stream where you can watch some of the gameplay. And they unveiled that there will be like two different... Each Digimon will have two different evolutions, Digivolutions. It's also funny hearing the people who are, like, clearly not Digimon fans talk about it. They're, like, stumble over saying evolution or digivolution or digievolution, which is kind of funny. But, and also forgetting names. And if you're going to buy the game, which you should, to show that Digimon has a fan base in the West, even though it's probably not going to be the best game, it's probably going to be a pretty crappy game.
You're really selling it, Jeffrey.
I assume we're going to have lots of fun with it, even if it's crappy. I think everyone should buy it even if it's crappy, just to give a signal that we care about these kinds of games existing. Okay, now for a follow-up from episode 13. We had one person vote on who won the Ridiculous Dialogue Draft, and the winner is Ashley with her choice of Gabumon dissing TK. When, what was the line? It was... Is TK on this ride and Gabumon says he's not tall enough?
Oh, sick burn, short people.
Ashley is gloating because she has won. We don't have Ridiculous Dialogue Draft segment in this episode, but next season you should totally vote on the winners in the comments. So now on to actual feedback we have gotten. So the first piece of feedback comes from Empire Will on the Digimon subreddit, and they had some interesting points about their idea is that the two different adventure movies represent two different kinds of bonds between Agumon and Tai. In that the first movie is all about an Agumon that has known Tai and Kari its whole life and just, you know, familially protects them, and that the relationship is between Agumon and Tai in our war game is more of, you know, they built up a camaraderie and a relationship, and it's kind of cashing in on that thing that's built up over the entire series, and that it's a much more powerful relationship, and also that given all that, it is more justifiable how Metal Garurumon and Wargreymon are less powerful when they're not present, which I guess came up because we were talking about the mechanics of why can't they fight when they're not present. Yep. I still think the mechanics are sloppy, but it's definitely interesting to think about the different ways the bonds are represented. Ashley's falling asleep. So the next piece of feedback comes from, I'm going to try as hard as I can to pronounce this, Ocelotl Chimalpahin on our comment section, and I'm just going to read it in full because it's not that long. I can see now why Hosoda remade this movie. While I liked our war game, the movie's concept was being chained by the Digimon mythos. You can't really watch this movie on its own. You have to know what a Digimon is, what a chosen child is, and who the heck these kids are. As to the Tai Chi soreness, this was Hosoda's doing. Kakudo had no involvement in the movies. Really, this was Hosoda's first movie, and it shows both his promise and his flaws, with the exclusion of other kids in not very convincing ways, especially Hikari. Tai Chi just tell Hikari that Digimon are involved and she'll run home. It felt contrived, but the animation is so pretty. Yeah, and like I totally understand the Hosoda wanting to execute the concept outside the Digimon mythos. It feels like that's kind of what he did with Summer Wars, taking the same concept and just redoing it. And I thought it was especially interesting. And it's better. It's more accessible to people. And I replied to this comment talking about how I think it's especially interesting how basically there are the same kind of challenges presented in that movie. Like, you still have to have only a couple people who are powerful enough to fight the main enemy. But since it's a world that he's able to build from scratch, you know, that's kind of, the world can be defined in such a way that only, well, now it's been a while since I've seen Summer Wars, but there are only a couple people that are able to help, you know. I forget, like, Kazuma?
Kazuma. King Kazuma. that one sounds more right.
By the time this goes live, I've already looked it up for links, so I'll probably realize that I'm wrong. But anyway, so King Kazuma, or Kazuma, whatever, is one of the people that can help, and everyone else is able to support them, but it's like, it's clear this relationship, like, this world is built around who is able to help, and I think it's also, it does a better job of making it seem like everyone is able to help in ways, whereas this
girl in the end,
yeah, she plays I forget what game it is.
Yeah,
it's not Go, it's no,
it's not Go.
It's a card game, they play Yu-Gi-Oh. I clearly can't remember the name of the card game. I feel like in that movie everyone feels like they're able to contribute in ways that isn't really true in this movie. Like, we get Tai and Matt really, and Izzy contributes knowledge, but everyone else is like there and they don't even know what's going on. Next piece of feedback, also in the comment section, comes from Green Chill, and I'm just gonna read their comment. I have a dire need to say that I love all three of you. This is the only podcast that I've actually stuck with for this long. It's so great to see how many people still have love for Digimon. And that's really awesome. We love to hear feedback like that. So
yeah. It's good that you love all three of us.
Ashley just wants someone who doesn't love Ash.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves Ash.
Everybody loves Ash more than me and Jeff. That's cruel. But also understandable because I love Ash as well.
Yeah, but genuinely thanks for that feedback. The next piece of feedback comes from ShawneeMac23 in our comment section. They said, so in regards character inclusion exclusion in this movie, I thought that the exclusion of characters due to real-world stuff was a good idea, but was obviously horribly executed, especially given the reasons they gave for several of the other characters' exclusion, Sora being pissed at Tai, for example. I think that the theme of responsibilities as a chosen coming into direct conflict with normal people's responsibilities really could have been an interesting thing to explore in this movie, but also even more so in Zero Two. These kids are all shown to have lives and hobbies outside of being chosen, and realistically, those things would come into conflict with dealing with problems like Diaboromon, etc. I kind of think it's a real missed opportunity, which is a shame, yet not terribly surprising. Maybe it's that I've read this comment multiple times and I'm like just nodding ahead internally. Yeah. Like, Yeah, yeah.
We agree.
I agree. Totally how I feel.
Especially after, since we've started watching O2, I'm like, what? Their lives make no sense.
I mean, it's like there's tension in 0-2 a little bit, in the sense that, like, the characters know that stuff's going on, but they have other things they need to tend to. And this movie, it's that the other characters don't have to weigh the things that they have in real life, the responsibilities they have in the real life, versus helping the digital world. They don't have to weigh that because they just don't know. The characters who don't fight just don't know. They would all drop it in a second to help, but they just don't know. And so it's a totally artificial conflict that doesn't actually exist, but it's kind of presented as if it's a conflict. So, maybe we want it to be a conflict.
It's so artificial, considering they show you everybody in the world knowing about it, except for those four.
Like, I mean, so Izzy's line in particular, he says something like, "We're still a team, we're just spread out," or something like that. And I think I, like, really read into that, you know, as being like, we're at different points in our lives, we've moved on, but we're still, like, we still have this emotional connection. And I just feel like the movie didn't really live up to that line. The line was like, oh, we've all moved on to other things, but it's like, no, you really haven't. You just haven't told everyone. Like, there are weird contrivances for not being able to tell people, like Sora not being and home, like, or not wanting to pick up the phone.
Yeah, Kari hasn't moved on from Tai or anybody.
Yeah, and it's even a point in 0-2.
Yeah.
And it's like, Tai not telling Kari why she needed to come home is just, there's no excuse.
There's no excuse for the Kari. All he should have done is, like, picked up the phone, been like, Digimon, get Gatomon and come here.
Well, she'd be like, Gatomon's gone, why are you making me cry?
Aww.
Anyway, so the last piece of feedback comes from John Summers, and it actually launched a fairly long thread in the comment section between me and him and a couple of people. So if you want to read the whole thing, you should check that out. I'm going to read the comment now. He said, "Another enjoyable podcast from you guys. Thank you for providing it. You're interesting commenter." Thanks. You're welcome.
That's the whole comment.
So then he says, "Two things I'd like to point out to you guys. The O2 movie..." No, I'm saying O2. Thanks, Ashley.
Oops.
"Two things I'd like to point out to you guys. The 0-2 movie with Magnumon is not canon in the original Japanese version. In fact, the way to tell if one of the Digimon movies are canon to the anime is if they are referenced in the anime itself. The only exception is the Revenge of Diabormon movie, because it takes place after 0-2. This launched... I mean, the fact that it launched a long thread should show you that I don't have a conclusive... opinion on... I haven't come to a decisive conclusion, but I also disagree with this comment, because I think it is not quite so black and white, because I guess what it comes down to is the fact that the Digimon universe is already so inconsistent, the writing in the main series is already so inconsistent, that we're presented with this inconsistency, which is that Willis and everything that happens in Hurricane Touchdown is mentioned in the movies, and then never mentioned in the series that takes place chronologically after. And you have to infer, did that happen because the movie is a different canon, or because there are just inconsistencies and things are brought up and never brought up and never mentioned again, which happens all the time. And I don't know if it's totally valid to assign the blame to be the fact that it's a different... it was a movie, and that's why it's never brought up again. I mean, if the Dark Ocean episode happened in a movie form, would we say it's not canonical? No one again mentions that Angewomon appeared, or whatever. I think. We haven't watched that yet. But, So, yeah, I mean, I think what I find really problematic is that it becomes about inferring or directly referring to the intent of the author. For example, if the writers said everything was intended to be canonical, but they just slipped up and forgotten who Willis later on, or they forgot to explain why he was busy with other stuff, then we would all consider it canonical, right? So the fact that that gives us the same piece of art in the end, and the only thing that differs is what writers have said, and I feel like the whole thing should be judged by the art itself. And
O2 is just bad. 0-2 is just bad.
Yeah. But yeah, so essentially I think getting commentary from the staff, the writers, the producers, and everything is interesting, but in terms of deciding the internal consistency of the universe, I don't like that. And I think it's ultimately up in the air whether Hurricane Touchdown is canonical. I'm pretty sure I've read on With the Will defenses of the mechanics that take place in that as being logical given what is going on in terms of the characters reverting to their previous selves and stuff, I think. And but I mean, the fact that Will's never mentioned again is just... so many things are never mentioned again. So I think that's the kind of thing that I would in my head just think it is possibly non-canonical, possibly canonical, and it's in a quantum state, and I have no I would never feel confident saying it is or isn't.
But you can keep making your headcanons.
Yeah, I think headcanons are really cool. So that's all our follow-up. Now, back to the episode that we recorded 4 months ago and barely remember. Woo! So what'd you think of this arc?
This arc? Well, the structure was all over the place.
Yeah, it was crazy. So long.
I know, right?
It's like a bleach arc.
I don't know why you expected me to watch 54 episodes in a week.
I don't know why you expected me to watch 54 episodes at all.
And two movies.
Two movies. Like, seriously, guys. What do you think I am, made of time?
I wish I was made of time at this point.
So anyway, let's talk about our favorite arcs. I struggled with this.
Okay, well, there's no question in my mind what my favorite arc is, and that's the Myotismon arc.
Yeah.
I have to agree with Asher.
Surprising no one.
Yeah.
Kind of the only one that, didn't suck.
Yeah, Ashley, what were you telling me about, if you had... Tell me what you were saying the other day about if you had watched Digimon from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure if I had watched Digimon from the beginning, I just would not have kept watching Digimon.
In reality, when did you start?
I'm pretty sure I started with the Myotismon arc and where things are getting really crazy and Wizardmon dies and stuff.
Wow.
I liked it. It was dark.
And that was in reruns or when it was actually airing?
Yeah, it was in reruns.
Mm.
And then I kept watching it. And I mean, I got back to the beginning eventually because I do remember Edamon and stuff, but...
I don't think I could forget Edamon, even if I tried to scrub it from my brain.
You just can't forget Edamon.
Especially Metal Edamon's butt.
Thanks for that gif, Jeff.
Thanks. It's just replaying in my mind over and over right now.
Yep.
So, Jeff, it's only Jeff, a problem for you.
Okay. I guess I kind of hesitated away from the Japan section of the Myotismon arc because that's such an easy answer. It's it's what I knew Ash was going to pick. It's what I think most fans agree on. When I see people talk about people who have just seen, or I don't know where I've seen this, I guess on Reddit or something, people who start watching Digimon and they're like, this isn't that great. And then people are like, wait until you get to Japan. And I get a lot of people seem to think that's where it really picks up. And I really do like that section. That's my second choice. My first choice, narrowly beating it out.
You just have to be different.
And I'm just trying to be different. But
pretty much.
These reasons aren't entirely rational. Anyways, so my first pick is the Dark Master arc, which...
Really?
Yeah, which Ash, you hate, right?
Yeah.
So part of it is irrational, emotional, nostalgic attachment to it that, as a kid, the hype about Digimon, just, kept building up, and then, this last arc, it was the most, oh my god, I can't wait to find out what happens, and, I remember going, I guess based on the timing of the year, because I can't remember when Adventure started airing. I'm sure I could look this up anyway. Started airing around September in the fall-ish. Adventure ended a couple weeks into the summer. And so that's when I started going on, I traveled a lot as a kid because my mom was a travel agent. And so I'm have very vivid memories of being on vacation, having just seen the episode of Digimon, or coming back and then being oh my god, I can't wait to watch this episode. And I remember I'm really excited because next week I'm traveling to Maine and I'm going to revisit the locations where I was when I saw the end of Digimon. I'm going to stay in my mom's friend's house where I watched it. Anyway, and I haven't been there in 15 years, so it's I've already had all this nostalgia wave back and now I'm going to see it in person. Anyway, part of it is that that everything's raised to 11 and it's mostly my irrational emotional attachment to it that this is when I was so excited to see what happened. And aside from that, it has Puppetmon, and Puppetmon's the coolest.
Okay, see, I understand that because my favorite episode is the one with Puppetmon and TK in his mansion.
Well, spoilers!
Because it's what? Because I love Psychotic Puppet, dude, and I love TK. That'll come later, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. When I thought about this, I did have some more reasons for liking Dark Master's arc. Just in terms of, I do like that they tried to do different things with splitting the group up, with showing, I'm just thinking of, I'll have a link in the show notes to this video. I can't remember the name of the YouTube person, vlog. I don't think she's a vlogger. I don't know if you can say it's a vlog, but she did a video comparing Pokemon to Digimon a year ago or something, and reposted it recently. And in it, she says that when Digimon was adapted to in the US dub, they made Tai more of a main character to be more like Tai, or to be more like Ash Ketchum
Pokemon. More like Tai.
And maybe that's slightly true, but I don't know how much you can do with dubbing. And if you just look at the structure of the episodes, there's like the whole Edamon arc is about Tai. You know, it's like five episodes in a row about like different facets of Tai, kind of going through the same kind of thing. I mean, I feel like Tai is the one who really gets the most development, and until this last arc where they at least try to focus on the other characters, and it doesn't work so well, but...
It would have worked better if they hadn't rushed it so much, yeah.
Yeah, it was really rushed.
Yeah.
We have a section about villains later, and if you just look at it, it's like... So the list of the main arc-wide villains is Devimon, Edamon, Myotismon. So that's three villains in, you've gotten... What is that, like 40 episodes in? And then it's Metal Siegemon, Puppetmon, Machinemon, Piedmon, Apocalypmon. So then five more in the next like 15 episodes. Like it's just plowing them out.
Well, I don't really like the whole like one after another shtick in general. I like it better in Dark Masters than I do in, say, Dragon Ball Z, but
is Dragon Ball Z like that? Having never seen Dragon Ball Z, I associate it with like one or two iconic villains.
There are one or two iconic villains, but there are also villain. Villain after villain after villain building up to this one villain who eats them all. You know, it's been a while since I watched Dragon Ball Z, but there's a villain that eats there are a couple villains actually that eat other villains and get stronger that way.
Interesting.
That makes sense. That's a thing in, like.
It's a thing in Digimon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A thing in other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I can rationally back this up, this choice.
It's okay. No, like, there are things that the Dark Masters arc does that the rest of the series doesn't do.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't do a lot of the things that I like in the other arcs, so.
It just does a lot of things badly.
That too.
I hesitate away from the Japan section because I feel like we get
hung up on it?
No, not that we get hung up on it, but that it kind of led the way for season two. And, like, I could see people look like, you know, well, I guess there wasn't really much time for them to plan. I don't know how they went into season two, like, a week after this aired. So I don't know how if they had time to reflect on it. But I could see if they were like, which arc worked best? Like, oh, this one in Japan worked really, really well. People really liked it. Let's make a whole season where they're in Japan. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that Tamers did it better. And
of course, that's what you're trying to say.
That 02 basically takes that idea and doesn't do it as well. You know, like it lowers the stakes by having them be at home all the time and doesn't do it. Like, what I like about that arc is that you get to deal with the families and it's like intricate things going, like so many plot threads that are like really complicated, like interwoven really non-linearly and strangely. And 02 had them, you know, like go to school and be episodic, and you know they barely deal with the families even though they're home all the time, and they just like go to the digital world at the end of the episode and come back at the end of the episode or whatever. It's like they on paper were like, let's do it like this arc, and didn't take the good parts out of it, and that's not a reason to dislike the arc. So I kind of lost my point. My point was that the arc had the like silly hiding the Digimon thing, which I think is the thing they focus on later more. Like, I don't know.
So you hate this arc because of what it becomes in season two?
I don't hate it. No, I don't hate it. I just... My thoughts were poorly thought out. I guess my main point was that I like it better in Tamers. And that I can see the seed of 02 in it. And that reflects badly on it. It's like there's a dark spore in this arc. And I can see that it's about to spread to a bunch of little kids. I don't want it to.
Your enjoyment of it more in one thing shouldn't hurt how it is in another season to me.
I guess it's like, because I know that there is a better, what that arc's trying to do is done better later, I don't value it as highly as other people do. Favorite episode?
I already told you my favorite episode.
The
one with Puppetmon and TK. Yeah. It's Ashley's favorite.
You should really watch that in Japanese, just for funsies. To
oh my god, yes.
To see him with a gun.
Just with a gun.
To up the funsies.
Yeah, to see him shoot his minions. I don't know if we touched on that in the episode.
We did. What?
I think we
did.
Yeah.
We did talk about it.
I should remember this because I just edited it. Anyway, that's a really good episode.
It's that and the whole existence of Metal Seedramon and his voice are the only redeeming things about the Dark Master's arc to me.
Okay, so I'll counter your point that I just try to be different. I chose my favorite episode as Home Away From Home, episode 21, so...
Wow, you really aren't trying to be different.
I took the default choice with that.
That's a strong contender.
Yeah, I should re-listen to our podcast about that, because I feel like I, in the course of having a discussion, came to like that episode a lot more than I initially did.
Mm. Oh yeah, you were somewhat of a hater on it, and Ash and I were like, what? No.
In the episode?
I think so.
I don't think so. No, I don't think I was. But I mean, I didn't come into it expecting to be like... I mean, we just had to do a whole podcast about it because of the director, but I guess I kind of expected to...
Yeah, you went into it with more expectations than we did.
Mm. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is the opposite of what I started saying, that I went into it with high expectations and then came out with having met those expectations, kind of.
Yeah, maybe. You lowered your expectations, I think, or saw that just because, I don't know.
I think I may have, like, read into things a lot more, expecting more. You know, like, I may have like, this episode's so much more meaningful, and these things that I would normally write off as being coincidence are totally purposeful, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Asher, what's yours?
Mine is the one where where Gatomon's past comes out.
Is it called Gatomon's
past?
That's
shocking.
Is it shocking?
I feel like that's so dark for you.
But it's friendship and Wizardmon and...
Oh, it's the Wizardmon part that's getting you. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's the friendship part. I mean, yeah, Gatomon's past is really dark, but...
I just don't expect you to pick those emo episodes.
Well, I didn't pick the other emo episode, but the other emo episode being Matt in his Tunnel of Darkness, which I thought
you
might
voice.
Pick.
His really evil voice was convincing. Makes it up there.
That wasn't. That was the other. That was earlier though. That was the Cherrymon.
That was it. The Cherrymon.
Yeah. When he's like, no, Chai, I want to kill you.
He just has his depressed voice. Yeah. But, yeah, and I don't know. I really like complex moralities. And I wish they'd played more with the fact that Gatomon was evil.
Yeah,
I wish
really
we'd gotten to see more of that. Yeah, it's just literally, oh, she's with Kari now. She's cool.
Yeah, her heart is healed by Kari's light.
Right. My favorite character is still Joe.
Mm.
So predictable.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Wait, are we doing favorite human characters or favorite...
I intended this to mean anyone aside from villains.
Okay.
Well, my answer is still Joe.
Yeah, basically, I meant anyone aside from villains so that Asher wouldn't pick Maerusmon.
I knew you would pick Joe.
I do like Joe more than I like Maerusmon.
But, so... Okay, if you had a continuum, where would Joe sit relative to Gomamon and Maerusmon?
Joe and Gomamon would be very close at the top. Maerusmon would be a little ways down. Then...
So if Maerusmon... If the difference between... So it goes Maerusmon, then Gomamon, then Joe, right? If there's...
Yes.
If there's... 5 feet between Maerusmon and Joe. Between Maerusmon and Gomamon. How much higher is Joe? Is he like a foot higher? Is he like
an inch?
Half a foot higher. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What is this crazy scale? I don't know how that was helpful.
And I was about to say something about Terriermon, but then I realized we were only talking about this season.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was kind of in the movie. The
Not
part of the
yet,
movie we weren't supposed to watch, yeah.
I didn't watch that part of the movie.
I didn't watch that part of the movie either.
I turned the movie, the dub part of the movie off Because they kind of like blended in, right? The one scene with Willis.
Yeah.
So I watched that one scene.
But it wasn't, he wasn't Terriermon yet. He was still Gumimon.
Fine, fine. Ashley, what's your favorite character? Who's your favorite character?
TK. Definitely TK. You know why? Because TK is the only one who I felt actually like grew in a reasonable way. And he also was still reasonably childish. And he's kind of a good dude. I'm like, yeah, good job, TK. I don't know if you'll hold up in the season two, but... for right now.
I kind of was frustrated that it seemed his growth was, how do I describe this?
I don't know.
Like, not continuous? It was like...
well, growth isn't.
Well...
Real growth isn't.
What I mean more is that, like, once an episode had time to give him the spotlight, then he just, like, made a, like, huge leap, you know, that wasn't a... I would argue that everything in real life is... continuous, like it's just maybe very steep curves at times for specific events, but TK is being like, I am independent without you, Matt, before they started interacting with Puppetmon, was kind of out of the blue.
Why? He had that whole episode with Ty and
like 20 episodes before that.
Patamon.
Right, that's what I mean. Like it's like they, it's like big jumps and then flatlining and then a big jump and then.
That's because they went to the real world and that, like...
Right, yeah.
...changed what they did.
I think this is a common flaw in how we argue, or how we discuss, in that we'll be like, I don't like this thing, and then another person will reply with, like, here's why it happened. It's like, yeah, we know why it happened, but they should have done it better. Like, yeah, having so many characters and having... introducing new arcs, they had to kind of... they couldn't... it would be really hard to have this many characters and show them... throughout the whole season, having growth continuously.
But like, even in the real world, the scene that stands out to me is, like, TK was with his mom, and then he just ditches her and goes with Joe on a narwhalrus. And, like, yeah, it's realistic that in the... yeah, because in the real world, it's like, he would be attached to his parents because he's, like, 8.
I never felt like...
But he was like, I've learned a lot, and I'm disrespecting you.
Yeah, like, my issue with TK's growth is that, yeah, he definitely learns a lot. But the stuff he learns, it's all very stereotypical boy turning into man sort of stuff, which is weird on an 8-year-old and also makes me uncomfortable with the gender assumptions it places on TK.
There's that, but guys, you're not gonna make me not.
No,
pick TK.
I'm not. You should pick TK. TK's rad. And like, I realize that my fondness for a lot of these characters has to do with the difference between how they are in this season and how they are in season two. Like, the growth I'm proud of them for hasn't happened yet. So like, I can't defend any of their choices in what they do. Like Izzy. Izzy buddy.
Yeah, I tried to, while I was trying to brainstorm, I was like, should I consider Izzy? I want to, because he, when I think of him from the movie, when I remember season two and the season two movies, like, but that's just not what he is in this season. I don't know, it's hard to, getting into this weird thing where I'm separating the, what I think of as a character and what I think of as the writers forcing things onto this. Like, it's a weird territory where I'm like, in my head, I have this idea of what the character should be and that the writers have forced them onto them. And we've kind of talked about that a lot with, in terms of Mimi. Like, we feel like the writers have forced her in situations where she acts in ways that are not, the best. And so that's how, especially with Izzy in the beginning of the season where he is, you know, the quick route to characterizing him is to just have him spout technical nonsense that is gibberish. Like, it's just like, route the mainframe to the server wire Ethernet port floppy disk. Like,
sounds about right.
I could be a Digimon writer.
Yeah,
you could.
That's your new goal in life.
So I mean, especially in that regard, where it's like, the writers clearly intend for him to sound smart, but he just comes off to someone who should know what he's talking about, and it just sounds like gibberish. I'm like, I don't know.
So who is your real favorite character then?
Okay, so our recording schedule is a little confusing. We're recording this episode near the end of June, and we're going to release it on August 1st, hopefully, if everything goes according to schedule. And right now in the comment section of episode 9, which is the second of three of the Dark Master episodes, and there is in the comment section right now, there is a lot of lengthy conversation about Ty and Matt, because we talked about how Ty, what was it, like, in regards to after Waymon died and Mimi wanted to stay behind, and Ty was like, no, we need to go, and, like, we talked a bit about, like, who was in the wrong there, and, like, we were like, well, Ty was in the wrong, and, but then, like, oh, but the show seems like they want Matt to be in the wrong, and, oh, wait, no, actually, this is, I'm confused. No, yeah, it was
that is what it was.
It was the first of the Dark Master episodes, though.
Yeah.
I'm currently editing the second of the Dark Master episodes, so I'm totally confused. So there's this debate about, like, well, it's a little confusing because, like, there's a difference between Tai and Taichi and between Matt and Yamato, and there are people who are like, well, in the Japanese, Yamato is completely in the wrong. People are like, no, in the Japanese, like, everyone seems to have strong feelings about liking Tai or Matt or Taichi or Yamato, and I'm going to upset people, I'm sure, by kind of not... What am I trying? Not strongly? Narrowly winning this in my head as favorite character. There's a word I'm trying to get to.
I have no idea what you're like trying to get to.
You like them both?
No, I'm trying to say that, like...
You don't have strong feelings for either of them?
Right. That, like, I have a favorite, but it just narrowly passed. I like everyone.
Okay, so you like everyone,
okay,
but you...
Okay, I'm picking Ty. I'm picking Ty, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, guys.
A marginal win? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, he marginally beat out the competition.
Okay.
And I think it really comes... I regret it already.
You should.
I'm picking Tomato.
Tomato?
Tomato. Tomato?
The pairing is Taito, Jeff, if you want to pick a pairing.
That's gay.
Yeah.
It is gay, yes.
So the reason I think I'm going with that, was just that the show devotes more time to him. This, that he's able to get more fleshed out development than everyone else. And so
it's
kind of by default.
You got sucked into it.
Hmm?
You got sucked into this. He's the main character, so you must like him. Cult. He has goggles.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I like him that much, though. I'm just like, but he had the most interesting arc of any of the characters to me.
Well, yeah. That doesn't mean he's the best character.
It could mean he's Jeff's favorite character, though. Like, it's cool. I didn't like Ty growing up, but I appreciate him a lot more.
Yeah, I never particularly had feelings for Ty.
Although he was annoying in this season.
So annoying.
It's like, if I were to think not rationally, just be like, who am I most emotionally attached to? It would not be Ty. But if I start thinking about, like, which characters I enjoyed seeing on screen this season.
Who?
Who what?
Who is that character?
I don't know. The character that I would be most emotionally attached to, like, if I just had to, like, on the spot, be like, who do I,
who do I save if they were in the Hunger Games or something?
I mean, you're basically going to hell if you don't pick Kari.
Yeah, because she's going to sentence you to hell, like, legit.
I don't know.
She will attack you with her light. Okay, I mean...
If I merged them into their season 2 personalities, it would be Izzy, probably.
Mm.
But without that, I would have to go with Sora or Matt.
Hmm. Pick Sora, then.
Yeah, pick Sora.
we'll make this decision for you.
I have, like, drawbacks with because... Is that the right... That's not the right word. I hesitate with Matt because it's, like... Mm. I kind of don't like picking him for being the, like, obviously trying to be cool guy for a while. And I would prefer if he would just email all the time, kind of. And I don't know. Like, that's a side of him that, like, not the side that's like, Matt, I play in a band later on. And Sora's just cool. I wish she had more to do. Had more to do.
We all agree with this sentiment.
Yes. Sora, you got shortchanged.
So shortchanged.
So, like, I feel like we, in our initial outline, for the audience knowledge, I wrote down that we would discuss each character in turn. I feel like we've kind of, like, in going through my thought process hit on most people.
Yeah. The ones we missed were the ones that didn't develop very much.
Like Joe.
I love Joe, but yeah, he didn't get anywhere.
He got 0%
anyway. He had his one episode that made no sense to me.
So
in the beginning of the season, he wanted to be a doctor. At the end of the season, he wants to be a doctor because of his brother and his dad. So there's growth.
No. That's no.
No.
As soon as he got the chance to go back to like whoever he was at home, he was like, hell yeah.
That is interesting. I do find that fascinating.
Yeah.
All the characters, he's the one that like snaps into his old responsibilities.
Yeah.
Responsibility.
That was not intentional?
No, it was not.
I thought it was intentional.
I did too.
Oops. Yeah, I mean, that's something, I guess.
I mean, like, Joe's deal is that he became a little... No, I don't even know what Joe's growth is. Something happened, and I don't...
He's kind of like, I'm going to be a man, but it's clearly a joke sort of thing, and then
that was one line. It was one line that didn't happen.
No, he said it several times. Are you serious?
He said it a couple times.
There was Joe's, the episode titled Joe's Battle, I guess.
Yes.
That episode.
And I really sympathize with that. I don't remember it being so much about, like, I need to be a man, but it was much more like, what I sympathize with was just that, like, I haven't part of this team. I've had no individual contribution, which is totally, that's one thing I really don't like about Dark Master arc, is that it's like, you know, Ty and Matt are the all-stars with War Greymon and Metal Gurumon. No one else can really do anything compared to that until the end. But... So I really appreciated Joe's being like, I need to try doing something on my own.
Yep, then he didn't do anything.
Going behind the scenes of everything, part of the reason that I got Ashley and Asher involved in and started this podcast is that I've been working in my first job since college for the past 2 years and have been part of the team and have felt like on my own I have not, you know, made something, and this was a way to create something from scratch.
This episode's getting super personal.
Well, it's sad.
And then Jeff does like 80% of the work.
I do
80% of the work, not because it's because I'm like, why don't we just have images for everything and time code? Like, it's like,
yeah, that's what you like.
Jeff makes his own work.
Like,
yeah.
If I didn't have crazy expectations for the show doing crazy things that probably no one appreciates, it would be like, you know, it would be an even workload probably.
I don't know. I like the images. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. I clearly like having them there. I think that it will, my goal with that is that it'll make the show more everlasting. That it'll like, you know, just lend quality to it. Like people will look at it as like it's like really good resource in the future.
In the future, 100 years from now, when kids go back and they're like, what is this Digimon of which you speak? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, generally podcasts don't really, especially about shows, are very like the idea of now, there is a Lost rewatch podcast that just launched with the one of the people behind Cards Against Humanity is in it. I found out about it. And it's like walking episode by episode through the first season of Lost, and it's like, that's cool, but like, would anyone actually go back and watch? If there was a Lost podcast, there probably were from the time, people who like fans who watched episode by episode. People actually go back and listen to all those episodes now. Like, I don't think people do that. And what I think is cool about Digimon is that, you know, like people have favorite seasons, favorite arcs and stuff. So Anyway, I shouldn't
get all sentimental there.
I don't need to sell to our audience because they're already listening to this.
Yeah.
How about them Digimon partners?
Hey, we didn't finish talking about everybody.
Oh, we didn't?
No. We didn't talk about Mimi. I think Mimi grew a lot.
Yeah, we missed Mimi.
We didn't talk about Kari either.
Do we have to talk about Kari?
I mean, Kari didn't have any time to develop, so.
Kari is still Kari. She's a weird possessed alien. Like,
do you know what would be cool? Instead of having a character who is personified by light. Oh, God,
What?
I was going to say, if there was a character personified by time, and then I realized that there's, like, a character in the third half of Cross Wars that is, and it's bad.
So let's not do that, maybe.
Let's not do that, then, I guess. Obviously, we need a character personified by space. Oh, wait, that's Vadermon.
Yeah, mm. And yeah. Kari. Kari and him should go, like, hook up. Be friends.
I lost your thought process, Ashley. What does light and space have to do with each other?
What? No, because Kari's
because she's a weird alien child.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that... Izzy should have been... Remember when Izzy was obsessed with aliens?
Yeah, and then he did not care when he met an alien.
And then he met Kari and still didn't care.
He still doesn't care.
There is a surprising amount of shipping for Izzy and Kari.
Really?
Yes.
Izari?
I don't know.
Izzy?
I don't know what that
term is. Koshiros and Sora?
I mean, yeah, what?
Korra? Like, I don't know how what do you get when you mash those up.
Wait, Korra? What? Is that Hikari and Sora?
My bad. I missed it.
That would probably be Sokari, and
that's Izzy Sokari.
And Kari would probably be Koshikari?
Koshikari?
Oh, right. I totally forgot that Izzy is not Izzy in Japanese. That makes total sense. For some reason, I was like, it's totally Izzy, which, yeah, no.
I love being Kari. The shipping expert on Digimon. This is crazy.
Kari and Izzy.
This is what my life has become. But yeah, no, it's a popular pairing.
I like Karizzy or something.
Not as popular as Izzy and Mimi, actually, but I would rather have Izzy and Kari of those two choices.
Yeah, they're both kind of weird. They, like, deserve each other a little bit.
I don't know. Izzy and Mimi...
I can't deal with that after the way he treated her in episode whatever number that was.
Yeah, Izzy and Mimi would seem like the geek guy still ends up with really hot girl randomly for no apparent reason.
I wouldn't characterize Mimi as really hot girl. Or...
Okay, within the world of Digimon.
I would say that Digimon, at least adventure, like there's no, well, until Kari in season 2, there's no female character as a prize, and that's cool.
Oh man, season 2.
But that's totally that's what Kari is in season 2.
Well, it's also what Sora is in season 2 to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Season 2, you're starting to disappoint me.
Well, once they reach puberty, it's just like.
I also just really remember not liking Davis, but that's a different.
Also, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Mimi, I think, is kind of portrayed like that in season 2, actually, where it's like she like has all these parties and stuff.
Well, that's not a prize thing so much as a. That's what Mimi...
Right, sorry. I mean, not so much that she's the prize, but that does seem more in line with what Ashley was saying of being the, like, you know, popular girl.
And she's still... She's actually... She is portrayed somewhat as that in this season, still.
She's the only one that has
other friends. She's the
friends.
One that has friends. Yeah. But, yeah.
So have we touched on everyone?
I think... We actually didn't talk about Sora.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
We've talked a lot about Sora. I think
summations of our feelings about Sora. She had so much potential and went nowhere with it, and just had a sad little arc that was sad.
Yeah.
Sad face.
Being a girl in Digimon is suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On many levels for Sora.
Yep. Yep.
Nobody loves you, Sora.
So.
But
much
we want to love you.
Exactly. You know, I really should have realized things about myself when I realized how much I liked Sora growing up.
I'd argue, I think the fact that she only has like one little arc is, I think, not just her problem. I think a lot of characters face that. It's like Izzy had the adoption problem, or realizing his adopted problem, and she had the realizing she. It's weird because in a sense, her conflict is very similar to Matt's. It's like not thinking that her crest
gets linked up with his in the end.
Hmm?
Gets linked up with his in the
true,
end.
True, true. But I mean, like, I'm thinking like hers, you know, happens much earlier. But it's essentially the same problem that she faces.
That's why they're Serato, man.
Yeah. And I think another aspect of that, aside from the fact that they make a good pairing, apparently, is that it's hard to judge whether her conflict is defined by her being a woman. And I feel like the fact that Matt goes through something similar makes it less so. The fact that it's like, she feels like she isn't loved does make it seem a bit too girly. But the fundamental thing of, like, I can never activate this quest because I don't have this attribute.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's also the, like, Matt's has the caregiver thing that we associate with Sora, but only specifically to TK, which eventually drives him crazy, apparently. But, you know, it's the same thing of, like, I'm going to protect you and take care of you. Oh, you don't want me to? How dare you?
This show definitely made, or watching it this time and talking with you guys definitely made me appreciate Sorato a lot more.
Okay, we've become Sorato fans.
I think we have. I don't know. Taiora still has a special place in my heart, and I'm not going to definitely say I've converted until I watch season two.
But the hairpin.
Oh my god, shut
up. The hairpin.
You don't like how I do my hair? No, that's not
what
I'm saying.
Oh my god. I do like that he threw up in her hat, though.
That's a weird detail.
Good pairing details. Childhood friends, I like. That's what I'm into.
Wait, weren't the movies inconsistent because they made it seem like they all knew each other way before?
Well, Ty and Sora did know each other before.
But I thought...
I don't know how it was long, like, before.
Mimi, too, or something.
There was a weird dubbing change the first movie,
Joe was trying to call Izzy and Mimi.
I think he mentions he's on the phone with Mimi, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
The dub also, you know that pile of gifts that was left on Mimi's doorstep at the beginning of the movie?
What?
Not that movie, but our war game.
There's a pile of gifts?
There's a pile of, like, gifts.
Yeah, I thought presents. You were saying gifts, but presents? There were presents? What?
There were presents and mail left on Mimi's door because she wasn't there. And in the dub, one of the most prominent heart-shaped gift says "to Mimi from Joe" on it. And it doesn't it does not say that in the original.
Man, they're so bent on Joe Mimi.
Yeah.
That is strange.
I mean, I like Joe Mimi, sorta.
I'm just thinking from the perspective of, like, so as a translator, you're handed this show, this scenario, and there are these two characters that spend a lot of screen time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what the motivation is to, you know, make them so connected.
Because romance sells.
In Digimon, though? Like,
sure.
It's weird because it's like...
Jeff, what do little kids watch? Little kids watch Disney. What does every single Disney movie have?
Well, so what is interesting about Taiora and Sorato, is that...
Definitely Tomato.
it's interesting because there's conflict there, because there's a dynamic that changes, and what is different about the Jomi relationship in the dub is that it's just there constantly. It does get more... There's more of it as it progresses. Like, there's, like, little hints initially, and then there's, like, more and more hints later on, but there's no actual fallout from it. There's no actual conversations about their feelings, because, I mean, they can't completely invent that kind of stuff. So it...
I mean, there's still certain little moments.
I mean, yeah, they can. They can completely invent that stuff. I mean, everybody has little moments, because this is an ensemble cast. Everybody cares about each other.
But there's, like, very specific moments where Joe will be embarrassed about...
Yeah, that's true.
...something that insinuates he has feelings for Mimi.
I also think it could be a case of he and Mimi understand each other because they are a couple of the weaker players. They are often the butts of jokes.
I feel like Joe Mimi has the same problem of, like, Izzy Mimi, though. Of, like,
it's not as bad.
It's not as bad. Especially because of, like, the things Izzy did, but...
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm just complaining about... In general, as I've stated many times, where I don't approve of saying, this is different in the dub, so it's bad, this is... But what I don't like about adding this relationship in the dub is that there's... You can never make it the focus. You know, like, even though there are moments in the background, there's never going to be...
You understand how romance works in stories.
Romance can totally be in the background. I wouldn't want them to be the focus.
But there's no conflict. Like, there's like signs of them having affection for each other.
No, but there is conflict. The conflict is exactly the way that romance works is that you imply that both parties or one party wants to be in a relationship, but they never actually get into that relationship is normally how most romance things keep going. And then you as an audience, like, want it more and more, but right. you never get it.
So you can totally portray that. You can portray Joe hitting on Mimi and Mimi being like, no, and him blushing and that kind of stuff. But then if it's all invented in the dubbing process, can you ever show them getting together? Can you ever show...
Well, they don't.
No, but you don't want that. You want it to be in your head.
Okay, so you're describing a relationship that can never actually happen.
This is how fan fiction happens,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, this is how fan fiction
happens. What are you trying to prove? I'm saying that like I don't like adding this kind of relationship in the dubbing process because...
Because you think there's no resolution. And I'm just telling you there doesn't need to be a resolution for it to be good storytelling.
What I don't like is that it seems like because they're so... close in some aspects of dubs that it seems consensual. I'm trying to think if that's really what I mean. In that, like, it seems like there's a mutual closeness, but I guess it's not a problem because people just grow apart. Like, you know, maybe they stop talking when she moved to America. TK and what's her name? Kari. TK and Kari.
Kari?
I was gonna say Korra for a second, and I was like, no.
TK and Kari
infamously have this throughout seasons 1 and 2, and then just in the epilogue of Infamy, grow apart apparently in the intervening years. So yeah, okay, fine.
Well, I mean, you can interpret their relationship as whatever you want.
No, you can't, because the...
Yeah, and then that doesn't stop anybody from being like, I don't enjoy their cute moments in...
They didn't get together!
I mean, yeah, I was disappointed too.
I mean, we're disappointed because it's just like, it doesn't make any sense based on what you know.
Yeah.
We'll have plenty of time to get into that in 02, but I mean, seeing people as they're, what, like 10 is not determining their life.
It is in
anime. It does when you're 10 and you want them to be together, okay?
Yeah, basically.
We'll have plenty of feelings. Did we actually... Wasn't the point to talk about Sora?
I don't know.
We're talking about love, okay?
Yeah. It just we did talk about Sora.
You didn't leave a section for pairing, so I had to slide it in somewhere.
Did you guys have any thoughts about the Digimon partners? I know Ash loves Gomon.
I love Gabumon! Still love Gabumon.
And Palmon.
Oh, I hate Palmon. Well, I never appreciated Palamon. I really appreciate her in the final goodbye scene.
Yes.
I mean, she's annoying in how she acts, but I think that is a very heartfelt scenario.
I like Palamon.
I just hate her design so much that I can't see through to her character.
You are so shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, as long as you know.
As long as you acknowledge.
Yeah.
You have this weakness in you.
I'm trying to think if I actually like any of the characters... Like, that are the pairs, the Digimon partners.
What?
I don't know.
You don't like any of them? You don't like Gabumon? Gabumon's the man, yo.
Gabumon's the man.
The man.
He, like, barely talks, though.
That is not true.
Hey, he has a lot of lines.
True, fine.
He's the most, like, sincere and loving and nice. Whatever, man. You're a hater.
Dog hater. I think the only partner Digimon I'm not super into is Patamon.
Oh, he's a little annoying.
They almost picked Patamon. Yes.
I'm sorry, Patamon. Like, I'd like to appreciate you, but no.
It's a shame you were partnered with TK, because TK is the man, too.
I feel like I appreciate Patamon the most. I mean, because he is on the same level as TK in a way the other Digimon aren't.
True.
Yes, there is that.
There is that.
That's what makes him kind of annoying, though.
It's like, is there an echo in here?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just his voice. Maybe he wouldn't be so annoying in Japanese.
That's true. His voice is not good.
Patamon's or TK's?
Patamon's. I like Wendy Lee. That's TK's.
I assumed.
I also want to like Beamon, but I feel like she barely gets anything to say.
Yeah.
She just gets a little nuzzly with Sora and then.
Yeah. About it. I like her nuzzling.
I kind of wonder what her lines are like in Japanese. She's the only Digimon who I wonder about her dub characterization.
Can I take a bathroom break?
Yes, you can take a bathroom break.
You guys can... Jeff can figure out what his favorite Digimon partner is. Alright, did you decide Gatchaman as your favorite Digimon partner?
Yeah, it's... Mine is Gatchaman. Really? It does have to be God. I mean, as much as I'm disappointed, she definitely has... So, okay, how to describe this? She has a lot of potential, doesn't live up to that potential, but even what she lives up to is still cooler than most Digimon partners.
And, all right, I accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I absolutely hate her in season two.
Why?
I just... The role that Patamon and Gatchaman are put in season two, especially given that Gatchaman is a champion, it's just like, well, she lost her rings, so I don't know, I guess she's basically a rookie now. Like, it's just so... I just... Even with all the problems season two has, there are a lot of things I really love about it, and I absolutely hate that part. Like, it's just so, like, these are the two most... Especially given, like, the new cast, aside from Ken, is so much less interesting than TK and Kari. To have TK and Kari be always there, but always sidelined. Mm-hmm. And just, like, it's just... I don't like it.
Lee really grew on me, actually.
I don't dislike the season two characters. I just always liked TK and Kari more than the new ones. Aside from Ken. Ken's just...
Ken's cool.
Ken's the best.
Ken's fascinating.
Yeah.
Ken is a roller coaster.
Season two is terrible, and yet it is actually worth recommending to people and actually watching in its entirety just to watch Ken's arc.
Well, season two is terrible in a lot of ways, but it's also like it gets at a lot of emotional things for me in a lot of ways. So, did I say season two was my favorite season way back at the beginning? I think I did.
Maybe.
Did you? No.
I think I did.
I think, and I was like, wait, no.
I can tell you.
No.
I can tell you because I have this transcription.
Ooh, fancy. I might have said season one.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm pretty sure you said season one.
Okay.
Let me find this.
After watching season one, it may be season two now.
Until you watch season two, and then you're like,
season four.
Season four.
Oh, I really want to watch
season four. Season four will never beat out season two for me.
I want to watch season four. I want to watch season five. Guys, can we watch Digimon?
You can watch Digimon.
Asher says, your favorite season was Adventure, then Adventure 02, then Frontiers and Tamers.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Well, I have changed my mind again.
For the record.
Yeah, it's season two. It's Adventure 02.
Let's see if it changes after watching that.
Yeah. I mean,
Adventure 2 was my favorite for a long time.
And then you changed it
to Adventure 1. And then I changed
Adventure
it to 01. And then, why?
Yeah.
I guess because I thought I appreciated Ty more than I actually did.
Poor Ty.
And Izzy. Ty and Izzy.
I definitely, having seen, when I first saw Digimon, like when it first aired or whatever, my first wave of watching Digimon, definitely liked 02 the best. I think it was like kind of a hype of like just adding elements and not really realizing the storytelling was bad because it's just like all these cool things happening. And then my second wave watching it 7 years later or so, realized like this is really not good.
Yeah.
And so I'm really interested to see how I view it now because I've like, you know, seen things that, you know, go into why it's not good and it's been another 7 years. So like my thought process should in theory possibly have evolved almost as much as it did back then too. Like, so what if I look at it and I'm like, well, it's flawed, but it has cool things. I don't know. I'm excited to see it.
Yay.
I am pretty excited to watch season two again. I like season
two. So excited. I don't like Davis though, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
I appreciate Davis now. He was so annoying as a kid though.
So annoying. God.
I like him now though. Not as much as I like Ty.
So, favorite Mimi moment.
Favorite Mimi moment. Every moment where Mimi exists.
Wow.
That is a cop-out. That's like...
Such a cop-out.
Fine. We all know my favorite Mimi moment is when she catches the poop and throws it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was just beer unanimous. See, I don't... I find that so ridiculous that it's hard for me to actually enjoy that moment.
Well, you have to put the picture on the website, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah. I'll have that shot.
That shot is already on the website.
Is it? It has to be up there again, though, because that shot is epic.
Can we just make that shot our website logo?
Yeah. Forget about Bodoma.
See, I don't like the scenario. I don't like the scenario, but I really like that shot. I had the two shots. I had, like, the one with her actually holding the poop and the before she actually picked up the poop. And she seems so... Both of these will be on the website. Like, they're... She's so determined before she picks it up. And, like, it's the one before she's picked up works really well because you don't know that she's doing something as stupid as holding poop. It looks like she's, like, doing something really awesome. And she's about to pick up a piece of poop. And at least she's wearing gloves. That is why they all wear gloves. I just realized.
That is why they all wear gloves, except for TK and Joe. And...
Izzy? No, Izzy wears gloves.
It is surprisingly few characters who don't wear gloves.
Is that it? Is it just TK and Joe? Okari doesn't wear gloves either.
Oh, if only we had images for every character on the website. I wonder if they can see the gloves.
Doesn't Ty only wear one? Oh, no. That was just Home Away From Home. He took off his gloves.
Interesting. Okay, no. My favorite Mimi moments are any moment where she encouraged Palmon or took care of Palmon / Togemon.
Yeah.
To, like, fight or just, like, was like, you're my adorable little pet. Let me give you my hat or something.
They were good. They were good.
Palmon's stupid.
You're stupid.
Togemon's pretty cool. Palmon's...
You're gonna finish that sentence? Gonna finish that sentence, Jeff?
I don't like the design so much. Anyway.
You can't see me, but I'm shaking my head at you. You didn't pick a favorite Mimi moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the poop.
Oh, okay.
Oh, guys, come on.
We're guys. I don't know what to tell you. I also like when she decided that she was gonna bring an army back to Ty.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that moment.
Ty, as forgiveness, I offer you this army. Anything to say about gender? It was full of disappointment.
I mean, haven't we said everything we wanted to say about gender?
Yeah, I don't know why I put a separate gender thing here.
Because you're just so used to it. It's like, what is a podcast episode without a gender?
We have had episodes without genders. Segment.
I think we had one episode without a gender.
Okay, well, you know what?
I think it doesn't make sense to talk about gender as a whole, does it? I don't know.
It does, but like we already did.
Yeah, that's much more specific instances, and we've pointed out those specific instances.
Yeah. On the whole, the show is terrible about gender. The end.
I think it's terrible.
It's not as bad as it could be, but it is bad.
So, okay, this is an interesting thing to bring up. Ashley and I have had some online interactions in a little chat room thing that we're a part of, totally separate from this. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the Lego movie being sexist.
I don't want to talk about the Lego movie.
I'm so tired.
But okay, we're not going to actually talk about that argument, but we had a really fascinating discussion with one of the people in there. I'm not going to talk about who it is because it doesn't. No, it's not someone related to the Digimon community, so... but he kind of was very defensive of it, who, as a lot of men are, about the Lego movie for some reason, when it comes to, like, pointing out anything wrong with it. But we kind of got to the bottom of why he's so defensive of it, which is kind of fascinating that... I don't know if he has kids or not, but he was basically thinking that when we refer to the Lego movie as sexist, that means that we would judge anyone who shows it to their kids as, like, bad media to show to kids. And that's totally not what at least I or Ashley meant. Just that, like, it's really good, but it has these flaws. We wish these flaws, like, we kind of talk about the flaws so the future movies don't have those flaws, too. Not to be, like, shame people who like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I found it especially fascinating to, like, it so rarely happens, especially on things like Twitter, where it's, like, someone vehemently opposes you, and you actually, like, come to an agreement and, like, find out why.
Yeah.
There's been this, like, discrepancy in your opinions. So I feel like when we say that Digimon is terrible with gender, we shouldn't do all the opinion that, like, you're bad if you show this to people or anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's clearly we still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we'll watch it. It's also, but we will also critically analyze it.
Right.
And point out its flaws.
It's also so, I feel like it's so much more subtle in Digimon Adventure because people will be like, but there are 3 out of 8 characters in the end who are female. And it's like, that's pretty good. That's like almost 50-50. And if you just think about it like that, you kind of miss the fact that like, what was fascinating to me was talking about our war game and realizing that like, there are 4 characters in this movie and 4 that are excluded and it's all the women and 1 guy. they're
and
excluded.
Joe.
Like, and Joe. Specifically Joe.
Specifically Joe.
It's just, it shows that, like, that's where the priorities lie in terms of, like, the important characters, the ones who affect things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know what I expected going into this. I didn't have these kind of considerations in mind when I last watched Digimon, so I...
Right.
Yeah. And I guess my conclusion of the season as a whole is that, like, especially compared to other children's shows, it tries. You know, like, it has 3 out of 8 female characters. That is trying really hard, and I feel like it would get a pass from a lot of people because it's like, well, it has characters.
Aw, man, the Mighty Ducks children's animated crappy cartoon does better than this.
But didn't that only have one girl?
They had 2 girls out of 6 main, and they were all a hockey team.
Yeah.
And one of the girls was the super techie one. It was trying really hard.
Wasn't one of the girls the goalie?
No.
No.
The leader was the goalie.
Okay, I watched like 1 episode of the Mighty Ducks, I think.
Talking about how one of the girls was super techie just makes me think of Yoli, and I don't want to think about that right now. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. But the other one is like a military, no, she's currently in the military.
Really?
The duck military. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty badass.
They tried so hard, yeah.
When did the Mighty Ducks, that animated one come out?
I'm pretty sure it was 96.
Huh. Well.
It's like really not quality though.
Digimon, come on, up your standards.
Yeah, Digimon, what are you doing?
Get on our level.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to say about gender in the season?
No. I'm glad we're going to get a whole new crop of... Not really. There's not that many new characters. Yoli.
We get Yoli, four new characters. We get 3 new dudes and 1 girl.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I expect there to be a persistent problem with Yoli being Izzy, but given the crests of Sora, Mimi, and some maybe interesting stuff with the dynamic between Hawkmon being a male partner for a female child.
Nothing interesting happens with Hawkmon being a male partner for a female child.
I would like to... I am looking forward to reading into...
Okay.
Yeah.
The genderqueer stuff of him merging with...
Oh, that would be cool.
Merging with Sylphimon.
Ooh, yeah. I never considered that for some reason.
Yeah, I never did either, because...
Huh.
I feel like I never really considered the gender of Hawkmon too much.
I never considered the gender of Sylphimon at all.
I feel like the thing with Hawkmon that throws everybody off is that he has like a weird Britishish accent going on.
He does
on
have a Britishish too. Accent.
Yeah.
What I was confused by that, like, my memory, I mean, I should watch an episode to actually determine this, and I'm not, so I'm just talking. What's a kinder way to say out of my ass? Anyway,
You're making it up out of whole cloth.
What?
That's a phrase.
Where do you come up with this?
That's a phrase.
That's not a phrase.
Yes, it is. It's an idiom.
You're making stuff up now.
Okay, anyway, I'm talking without evidence, but my recollection was that Hawkmon was definitely a guy's voice.
Yes.
And that Aquilamon.
Yes.
I do not remember what gender Aquilamon
male
was. Really? Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay, well, I am just being pedantic now, but that bothers me because the Latin word aquila is feminine.
Okay.
It ends in A.
But isn't it a general word for an eagle?
Yeah, it depends on, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like Latin is a language where the nouns have gender, so like,
yeah.
Even if you're talking about a male eagle, the word is still female.
So what you're saying is it doesn't matter.
La-di-da, I completely dismantled your argument, la-di-da.
Yeah, I did.
Who's smart now, Jeffrey? Not you.
Should we move on to Digimon?
Haven't we been talking about Digimon this entire time?
Yes, the show Digimon, we should move on to that.
I mean, like, designs and the villains. Yes.
I didn't know what we were talking about this whole time.
It's so actually Pokemon, surprise!
Yeah.
Favorite design.
Did you not think of something?
Did you think I actually looked at your questions?
Honesty is the best policy.
Favorite design.
Favorite design?
I have an answer. Maybe in the course of us talking about it, you'll think of one.
Puppetmon.
Interesting.
Favorite design?
Mine's WarGreymon.
Really?
I think WarGreymon looks cool.
Okay.
WarGreymon does look cool.
Especially if you think of, I really don't like... It's not that I really don't like Greymon. I just don't particularly like Greymon. and I really don't like Metal Greymon, and if they went more down that route, I wouldn't appreciate it. I mean, so, yeah. So we have lots of examples of this. There are lots of forms of Agumon and their line. In Saviors, there is another main protagonist, Agumon, whose evolutions follow this kind of, like, getting bigger and bulkier each time. Mm-hmm. And so that line is Agumon, Geo Greymon, Rise Greymon,
shine.
I think?
Rise Greymon. Before Shine?
Yeah, and then Shine Greymon, and then Shine Greymon
Burst Mode. Rise before Shine!
Wow. Anyway, that's really weird, Rise and Shine. Anyway, I like Shine Greymon, but Shine Greymon definitely looks way cooler than Metal Greymon. Like, I just... Metal Greymon's lame.
Also, I changed my mind. My favorite design is Zudomon.
Oh.
No!
Yes.
Anyway, I like how War Greymon is not a big bulky. He's like a lean humanoid kind of thing. And that's cool.
Okay.
Wergarurumon, guys. Wergarurumon.
Yeah, Wergarurumon was my second choice.
Wergarurumon is very cool, but we also knew you would pick that.
Yeah. I like his pants, okay? Whatever.
I also like his pants.
I just don't want to know why he needs pants, and then he doesn't need pants again.
I don't know.
Where did the pants come from? Where did they go?
Where did they come from? Where did they go?
Where
did you come from? Where Joe? Anyway,
Joe is Cotton Eye Joe.
We're not going down this route. So why Zudomon?
Because he's awesome.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
I am so sorry that you think that.
He's so cool.
I think Zudomon gave me a confusing interpretation of Thor for a while. Because he has Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Why is he Thor?
He's not really Thor, he just has Thor's hammer.
That doesn't make sense.
He's like a giant turtle that ate Thor or something.
Because he's worthy and he can pick it up.
No.
He's an Avenger.
Does he, does like the dub or anything actually say Thor's hammer? Or do we just infer it because it's lightning hammer?
No, it definitely says Thor's hammer.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Positive.
Okay. I like him because he's cool.
That should be the opening of the episode. The last one that I'm editing now, episode, I don't know, what is it, 10? It has, there are three candidates for after credits things and one candidate for, something in the beginning. We weren't on our game in terms of being funny in that episode.
Well... We're on our game now.
Which one was that? Oh, was that a Dark Masters episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ash was just like, screw this crap.
I can't remember which one it was. It was the second of the three.
The middle one, yeah.
Yeah. I was super not into it.
On to villain Digimon. We have Devimon, Edamon, Myotismon, Dark Masters, which includes Melcidramon, Puppetmon, Machinedramon, Piedmon. And then we have Apocalypmon. And we'll talk about each one in turn, but who were your favorites? Can we all just say Puppetmon at the same time? No, Myotismon.
Melcidramon.
Oh, wait, we have different ones, don't we?
Myotismon is my favorite.
So, Myotismon for Asher.
I like Devimon a lot, too, though.
Yep, Devimon's my second choice.
No.
Yeah, behind Puppetmon.
Melcidramon, guys.
Asher, you really pick Melcidramon over Puppetmon?
Yeah, of course you would.
Yes.
I don't think it was actually on the podcast. I think it was just like in real life. But she kept referring to Melcidramon as being sexy and like and hot. And I'm like, this is really weird.
A sexy
actually,
voice.
No, you were talking about his body being so golden hot or something. It was weird.
I do not remember this. What was this in reference to?
I don't know, but like, there's a certain. Feeling of jealousy when, like, a significant other talks about other people that, whatever I'm trying to say, says that, like, if a girl in a heterosexual relationship says that a guy is hot and it offends the guy, like, okay, I can try to get over that. But it was a giant golden snake. Like, what am I supposed to think about that?
You're supposed to think I'm very strange and you should reevaluate this relationship.
I won't judge you, Ashley.
Yeah, don't judge me.
Wait, I'm going back to favorite design for a sec.
Okay.
I like Wizardmon's design a lot, too.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. He's a cutie.
He is a cutie.
I just really like that chibi Wizardmon we found a while back. That chibi Wizardmon was awesome.
I just want Wizardmon. Can I have him as my partner? Will he be not tragic for once?
No. No.
Then I don't want him as my partner.
I think I tried to find the origin of this Chibi Wizardmon and, like, could not for life me find it. Because I want to be like, this artist is awesome.
Welcome to the internet.
Yep. I mean, Google reverse search sometimes works.
Yeah, I tried that and I couldn't. I found it actually really hard to track. Like, there was a different piece of Digimon fan art that I tried to find that way, and like,
it is often not great.
It's weird because like I did that with the image, and could not find the source of it. And then at some point later, I just like searched for Digimon images and then found it, the original source that way.
Yeah, it's weird.
What were we doing?
Oh, so.
Oh, favorite villains.
Well, Ash, you almost picked it. Devimon, right?
Yeah.
Devimon,
he's cool.
I have a fond spot in my heart for him because he was the first.
Yeah.
And so unknown. Oh, I was thinking about this the other day. I had a reason for this. It's that, okay, so in the Devimon arc, we're still unclear about so much. Mm-hmm. You know, like, by the time you get to Edamon, it's like they specify all these levels, and it's like, well, Edamon's an ultimate. As soon as they get to ultimate stage and they can beat him, it's much more demystified at that point. Mm-hmm. And Devimon, I think, is the only way I think of it is he's the only one that has this privileged position of being the first. Like, even the first villain of any subsequent season is going to be like, well, I guess for the ones like Frontier and Cross Wars, where they break the Digivolution mold, they can have this freedom. But it's like, in the other seasons, it's like, well, we know this guy's a champion, like, he's not going to think of a deal, guys, like, whatever. Whereas Devimon's like, you don't know he's a champion, but he's still a huge threat, and he's still like, before you know the rules of the world. And I admire that about it. And I also think it's fascinating that they started with Ultimate Evil and then went more humanoid from there.
Until the Dark Masters.
In general, just like going from like being, because I could see that being so much more an easy, well, I guess Apocalypse is kind of Ultimate Evil too.
Yeah, like, Devimon still feels like the ultimate evil to me, even though he's only a champion, and we meet all these other evil Digimon that are stronger than him. He's the only one that's, like, he actually looks like evil.
Yeah.
Incarnate. Like, that's what he is.
I also just love such an iconic moment to me, at least, when he, you know, like, when they're at the mansion, and he, you know, sets them up and stuff. Still doesn't make sense as a like thing. Why he wouldn't just attack them then?
Yeah, the iconic Devimon moment for me is when he reaches out and snuffs Angemon out with his hand.
You mean Patamon?
Yeah, it was Patamon at that point, wasn't it?
Like, he couldn't fit Angemon in his hand.
He probably could have. He was really big at the time.
Yeah.
Hmm. True. Is there any Angemon Devimon fan?
Yes.
Pairings? Not surprised.
Yes. I don't know this for a fact, except I do know this for a fact. I have not seen any. I am 1,000% sure it is there.
Yummy.
We're not going to search.
No.
Edamon is...
Nobody likes Edamon.
I don't like Edamon. I think...
Oh, we still have to wait for our listeners.
Right, so in the episode that I edited, that I'm almost done editing, episode 10, which is going to come out this Friday, we like... ask that as the question at the end, like, listeners tell us if anyone likes Edamon. So we'll see. Okay, I'm here from 4 months in the future with the outcome of that feedback about Edamon. And we had got one comment from Rimzy on the Digimon subreddit, basically saying that their dad really liked Edamon and watched an episode during the Edamon arc. And then once Edamon died, he stopped watching and then was actually excited when Metal Edamon came back later, which was... an adorable piece of feedback, but it was the only feedback we got about people liking Edamon, which leads me to believe that the majority of people still don't like him.
If you didn't do it then, tell us now.
Yeah. I don't like Edamon, but I think it's fascinating. It's fascinating how weird they went after Devimon.
Yeah, like, why?
Like, especially in contrast to Devimon, where it's like, Devimon is such an, I don't want to say easy choice, but it's like, you know, take your representation of the devil there. Like, you got it. I mean, it... And then to go from like Elvis impersonating monkey, Elvis impersonating guy in a monkey suit.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
It's so strange. Sense.
Edamon is super strange. But after discussing him so much, I'm really curious about like what he actually is, you know? Besides, you know, Elvis. Monkey
it's
Elvis.
It's cool also how he's so weird, but that's never like, the kids don't really like make fun of him. For it,
right?
Okay, we all know everyone loves my Otismon, blah, blah, blah.
We love half of the dark masses.
half of them? Oh, well, you like Melusinumon? I don't know. I mean, yeah, Machinjimon's boring. Paimon.
They paired the two boring people together.
What?
Like, it goes Melusinumon, Puppetmon, then Machinjimon.
Paimon. I don't know. Paimon, I kind of extend more of my my love for Puppetmon. I appreciate that, like, the main bad guy of the Dark Masters is not some representation of evil, but is more the kind of things that kids fear.
Kids fear giant robots?
No, I'm saying that Paimon
is, Paimon,
you know, like a clown as opposed to a big bad
guy. Oh, God, Ashley, why?
What happened?
What? It's adorable.
I...
Oh. For explanation, Ashley,
cute.
Ashley just sent us this image, which will be in the show notes, which is Devimon and Angemon sitting together, and it's really cute. They're like chibi, and not like chibi, it's just stylized, and they're kind of just sitting next to each other. They're not really
holding hands.
It is safe for work.
It is safe for work. It is.
It is.
Unlike that metal Edamon.
It is kind of like sickeningly safe for work.
Kind of too safe for work. It's so cute.
They could have some interesting... I'm not going to go there.
Were you just going to say they could have interesting babies?
No, I was going to say, like... they're both kind of, like, bondage. They're both kind of, like Devimon is, like, bound up. His arm is all, like, wrapped
up.
And
you went there.
Are you saying they could have some kinky stuff going on?
Never mind. Apocalypse Mon.
Was the worst.
Apocalypse Mon. At this point, wish I could watch the Japanese and selectively remove the English of that
from your brain.
Dub, yeah. Because I mean,
you don't appreciate his pizza crusts.
Oh my goodness, this guy.
Yeah, but the idea of like this guy that is, or not guy, this thing that is a representation of everyone who has died is cool.
Oh, he could have been so cool, and then he just was not at all.
Yeah, and it's just the arc of the actual fight is disappointing in just how much he's able to utterly crush them, which is awesome. And then once they come back with the same fighting power, he, you know, can't land a hit anymore. That's disappointing.
No, I still really want to know about the mechanics of him being Digimon who died or couldn't digivolve or whatever.
I want to know more of the mechanics, like why he came from beyond the wall of fire. Like,
is that part of the digital world even? Like, what's up with that?
What's beyond the wall of fire?
So many things to know.
Let's talk about world building. This Digimon Adventure did not have any world building.
It had plenty of world building, it just didn't build on it.
Next to world building, I wrote Bahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahah
but they
nothing
sort
adds
of
together.
Tossed them all on the floor like little kids' building blocks with the letters on them. Like Primary Village. That's exactly what the world building looks like, except less organized.
I like this metaphor, Ash. Like, they just threw lots of things at the floor and hoped it would kind of make a cohesive world, and it doesn't at all.
It's still fun, though.
So, I mean, I've heard... Okay, so compared to other seasons... Actually, I'm not sure how this... I guess it is the same world of in 02. But compared to the others, this is much more magical, fantastical, than it is electronic and digital, technological. I don't mind that aspect. What I mind is that it is used as a route to not explain things.
Yeah, it's... I don't care if they made up a bunch of crap that wasn't digital at all, as long as it made sense within the world, but it never did, so...
Yeah...
I gave up caring a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just... This world is hard to ever get into too much depth about specifics of what happens and stuff, because things don't fit together. It's not a... world that makes sense. Things don't add up. I'm really glad that we found value in this podcast by we don't nitpick the mechanics. We, you know, use the show as a way to launch into other topics, and the show makes us think about things Even though things don't fit together, it still is able to affect us in really interesting ways. What do you guys think about the plot?
I actually wrote down things. Obviously, could have been more cohesive. I would have liked to see more interaction between the consequences that are dealt from stuff happening in the digital world or the real world. Instead of, it's just like, there's another evil dude we have to go beat up. And I'm like, no, that's not the cool part of this.
That is, like, the structure, the plot structure of this season is, you know, they're stranded. There's a big bad we need to beat. There's another big bad we need to beat. And then there's, like, a brief tangent where it's like, and he has an objective that we are trying to also achieve or whatever. Like, we're trying to find the eighth digidescend. Oh, let's go back. Now there are new eight big bads. Like, it, aside from that brief tangent of searching for the eighth child, it is not very creative.
And the eighth child thing was so funny.
I don't know if we have anything to say about the plot other than there wasn't much plot.
It is what it is. It's kind of surprising how much plot there is, actually.
Really?
Because, I mean, the other shows I was watching at the time were things like Power Rangers, which takes its episodic nature very seriously. While Digimon has episodic things about it, it's still a narrative.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't understate how much I enjoy that Digimon was a continuous narrative.
That's, yes. That's the one thing I liked about the plot. I mean,
But I mean, I'm thinking in terms of, like, I'm trying to think of the different seasons, and I feel like they all have more things going on than just, here's the big bad, oh, isn't that one you need to defeat, oh, isn't that one you need to defeat, oh, isn't that one you need to defeat. 02 has all sorts of crazy, Zero Two has so many things going on, like.
Zero Two has too many things going on.
There's, like, Destiny Stone, well, there's, like, Digimon Emperor, like, there's so many cool ideas that just are thrown together and don't work cohesively together.
Well, some of them do, but towards the end, it got a little bit, crowded.
And Tamers is just, nothing negative can be said about Tamers.
Okay.
Tamers is actually more at fault of the having a team of villains that cycled through at one point. Without spoiling too much, but it handles that really well. I think there are realistic objectives for everyone instead of just defeating the bad guy. And Frontier, I don't remember too much.
Frontier?
Aren't they always on a quest to fill the land back up?
Yeah.
And there's the stuff within the middle. I remember the stuff with them. The things, the angel, Cherubimon, and...
Yeah, well, that was at the well, I mean, the angel stuff was, like, the first half.
Yeah.
And the second half was the Royal Knights, basically.
Yeah, which, yeah.
Which was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And Saber is just... Saber, when it comes to this, is had some really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it did.
Wait, did you see Saber's?
I saw part of it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well... We'll get there.
Will we?
In like 5 years.
Biggest disappointment. Gatomon.
Is that your biggest disappointment?
Yep.
My biggest disappointment is Izzy.
How so?
Because I remembered him being a lot more... Just a lot more than he is in this season. And, like, the way he treated me, I just, like, can't forgive him.
What that one episode? They don't really have many interactions after that to make up for it.
Yeah.
What happened to Gender being the biggest disappointment?
I'm more disappointed in Izzy than I am in Gender because I had no expectations for Gender.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Sora.
Yeah. I mean, Sora used to be my biggest disappointment, but then, like, going into this, I was like, okay, I like Izzy. And then...
Oh, yeah, I remember in our intro episode, you said Izzy was awesome, and I was like, I'm not expecting to like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way I feel about Sora is the way I feel about the Lego movie in Gender, in that it's just like...
Pretty much.
Oh, you were so close.
Come on. So close, yet so far.
I like how all our disappointments are characters.
Oh, that's true.
I think it just shows that we care more about characters than we do about themes.
I feel like I would be more disappointed by the world building if I didn't have better seasons too. Like, I can just be like, well, the season isn't good for this. You know, like, this season's good for that. That kind of thing. When it comes to characters, it's like, Gatchaman's there. Gatchaman is a badass. Until a switch toggles and then she's not. Like, it's hard to ignore that.
Yeah.
And we never get Gatchaman. Like, when we don't get good world building this arc, in this season, we get good world building in a different arc. We never get Gatchaman being badass again. She gets even worse season two. She's so goody two-shoes, too. It's just so frustrating.
Someday we will all just rewrite Digimon the way we need it to be. The Digimon this universe deserves.
Does anyone have a biggest surprise? Like a good thing? Like the opposite of disappointment?
Mimi catching the poop.
No. Puppetmon.
The poop would almost fall in my disappointment category because it's like she gets her big moment. It's the throw poop. So Puppetmon is not mine because when I rewatched this two years ago in Japanese and didn't actually understand the audio, I picked up the few things I could pick up on were that, wow, there are a lot of Puppetmon episodes. So I thought about that a lot without actually understanding what they were saying. So I went into this knowing, like, there's going to be a lot of good Puppetmon stuff. Not a surprise for me.
Okay, well, what was a surprise for you?
I think Jeff and I may have watched this too many times to have biggest surprise.
Aren't you guys cool?
This is kind of meta. It's kind of the process of the show, but I mean, I'm surprised by how much I enjoyed detailing the geography of Tokyo using Digimon. Bring it back to the show. Like, I'm surprised by how consistent they were. Like, in my head, the way I hear Worship Season 3, I figured Season 3 is, faithful to the world. But Season 1, they just probably whatever. And they are kind of like that in terms of how Odaiba gets destroyed and then, by the summer. Wait, I'm confused because our war game takes place in summer.
Don't think about it.
So I guess, is it 1 year? It has to be 1 year later because it takes place during the summer and the show takes place in summer.
Yeah.
You should have said it was a year later.
Oh, okay. I remember we had a debate about this in the last episode. Why was I talking about that? Oh, right. They're like, Odaiba is completely repaired after a year. And
yeah. Totally legit. What are you about?
Japan's got awesome apocalypse rebuilding measures. Do you know how many times they've gotten destroyed by Godzilla?
Okay, this is... So, one of the shows that's in the... It's currently airing... anime it's currently airing is called Black Bullet. And it's set in a post-apocalyptic Tokyo that has been, infected by these monsters and... the weirdest thing about it is that they're really vague about what year it's set in, but the phones have really faithful portrayals of iOS 7, and I'm like, this is definitely the future, because people have, mechanical arms and limbs and stuff, but they're still using iOS 7? Like, did the apocalypse happen this year? And then, science advanced, they advanced, automail, basically, but kept the Apple-provided operating system from 2013? I think about it too much. Because I really love when anime faithfully portrays software. And the adventure of the show does not. It has, Izzy's laptop has generic stuff. And his laptop itself is I think more of a joke than anything. Like, it's a pineapple.
Yeah, it's a pineapple, yeah.
Because it's a pineapple.
What?
Well, I mean, it's pineapple. Anyway, it's actually really weird, the laptop, because it... the show aired with that laptop shown a couple months before Apple unveiled a laptop that looked very much like that. So it kind of predates what I assumed it was based on. It's kind of creepy. The movie, our war game, definitely faithfully shows Windows 98 and Windows 95, which I appreciate.
I don't think I ever noticed that Izzy's laptop was a pineapple.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Ashley, it's a pineapple.
It's a pineapple.
Okay. Say so. I'll believe you.
I think it is a subtle thing. You have to realize that it's oh, fruit, whatever. Oh, pineapple. Well, anyway. I wonder if that actually makes sense in Japanese, though. Probably not. Probably doesn't matter, because they anglicize things anyway. Yeah, yeah. So my biggest surprise is that they are so faithful with portraying Tokyo in both this and 02.
All right.
Yeah, I can't think of a surprise. Any other comments about this season?
No.
No comments?
No comment.
It was good. I am already feeling the disappointments wash away in the wave of memory.
Memory loss.
so to give some behind the scenes their podcast recording, we recorded the last episode about a war game, and we were should we do a general wrap up episode? Probably more of anything our first thought was that, like, well, we've kind of talked in depth about everything we wanted to talk about. So, like, what else are we going to add? Like, if it came up during, if something happened in the show, we would have talked about it. So we were like, yeah, and we were kind of tired because we recorded two episodes for both the movies the same day. And then a couple of days later, I was like, now I'm sad because Ash is going away and Digimon's ending. And
yeah, he dragged me here. 12:30 a.m. I am going on a plane soon.
Don't call, but do.
Yeah.
There's the lyrics, right? They're saying, like,
not
don't call.
Quite, no.
I was not sure.
No. It's, I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again.
Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
But I do know when I'll be back again.
Woo. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm already, it's weird because watching the end of the season, I'm not sad, but then, like, thinking about how, like, oh, wait, it's over, we finished. It's kind of sad.
Climb this whole mountain.
What?
It's a meme.
I'm not sad. I'm excited for Adventure 02.
Yeah, I am ready to.
I'm excited for a break and then Adventure 02.
Yeah.
Right, I'm excited for a break and I'm excited for different Digimon world building. That's what I love about Digimon, that, like, it is different. You know, like, that there's so many different things. And, okay, so, like, this is what I think about Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy. For the SNES, there was... in the generation of the SNES, there was Final Fantasy.
Who called it a SNES?
Super Nintendo, I'm sorry. in the Super Nintendo generation, there was Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6. For PS1, there was 7, 8, 9. For PS2, they started to slow down with 10 and 12, and if you count 10, 2. And then PS3, it's Final Fantasy 13, and 13-2, and 13-3. Like... they started to, like, bunker down on the one world, and I don't know, the 13 series, I haven't played Lightning Returns yet, so I can't really comment on that, but they do try to change up the world each time. But what I love about the earlier Final Fantasy games is that it's, like, completely new setting each time, and that's also what I love about Digimon, that it's, like, everything's different, and I feel like it encourages innovation so much more to, like, what's wrong with Final Fantasy is that they're, like, so invested in this one world that they spent a whole generation in it. Whereas Digimon shows that, like, just reinvent yourself, blow yourself up. You can find the show notes for this episode with detailed links and images of everything we discuss at poddigis.com/14. We spent this episode ranting about our favorite stuff from Adventure, so let us know what your favorite arcs, episodes, characters, partners, meme moments, designs, villains, disappointments, and surprises were. If you like the podcast, a really cool and helpful way to show support is to leave us a star rating and written review on iTunes so new people can find the show, even if you don't use iTunes to listen to the show yourself. We have our first rating from outside the US this time. Huge thanks to Sindorman and Narmoy. We're Podigis on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr, so follow us on whichever one you like if you want to hear more about the show between each episode. We're going on a brief hiatus for a couple weeks between seasons, but join us next time on Podigis. The group cries as Ty is replaced by Kari Stalker. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving.
I'm gonna save the digital world for me. I'm gonna save the digital world for you.
I say we should kick it up.
Show them all the things that we can do. Let's kick it up another notch tomorrow.
Hey Digimon.
I'm trying to think of the lyrics, I can't remember.
Oh, you do not challenge me to a Digimon movie soundtrack lyric song.
It's hard for me to remember them without going through the song in my head.
I'm going digital, completely digital. I know every song off the album.
I didn't realize Let's Kick It Up was in the our war game. Like, I thought it was in the second season or something. I thought it was something Matt's band played.
It is
something.
Played during the second season.
That's probably why I'm confused.
Yeah. So is Run Around, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You
yeah.
Run Around.
Run Around is Pixel's theme song.
Oh, yeah.
Things are getting
I don't know the words to that one because that one's crazy.
It's getting too insane.
I'm trying to maintain. Whoa.
That's just a whole podcast I was trying to fail to sing along to this song. Okay.
It's not. Wow, that's shocking.
Is it shocking?
Is it electro shocker? Did you see the thing where I put Mimi's face on a thing for 22 Jump Street by accident?
Yes.
Because I didn't
understand what you meant, so I didn't respond to it.
So I have like this Trello board of movies to watch, and I'm like, okay, I want to someday, 22 Jump Street is in theaters, it's supposed to be decent, and I put it in there and like attach an image to it. And the way I do it is like to drag the image onto the desktop and then drag it onto the thing. But I have this image of Mimi on my desktop because I don't know where to put it and I want to save it. And I accidentally put that there, and then later I was like, that's not 22 Jump Street, that's Mimi.
I'm imagining Mimi and Joe is a buddy cop movie now, and that is brilliant. No, Mimi and Sora. That would be good. Okay.
On a side note, I like how when I explain what this podcast is to people who don't know what Digimon is, I say that it's like a podcast about a 90s kids cartoon, and I can say 90s because it's like, you know, was airing for like a quarter of 1999.
Yeah.
It's such a...
Definitely more a 2000s
cartoon. If I say that, people are like, wow, you're young.
Well, you are.
Compared to the people who... I don't know who the target audience of this show is. Like, I intended for people who are our age, possibly older, who watch the show, who have kids, who like Digimon, who could like Digimon, people who...
Like most of our audience is younger.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there, which is surprising to me, that there is an audience of people who saw it way after it aired.
We're talking about our podcast audience, right?
Yes.
I don't know. I thought they were around our age.
I feel like they're younger.
I don't know why you
again.
Think that.
I don't have a whole lot of interaction with them, but
it would be fascinating if you tweeted at us with your age. So.
Yeah, tweet us your age if you like.
No, guys, that's creepy.
Why is that creepy?
Don't ask strangers their age on the internet. That's creepy.
Okay. Here. Don't just tweet us your age. Tweet us your location, sex, and age.
Yeah.
What is it? It's ASL?
ASL.
Age, sex, location?
Please don't. Although that would be fascinating to know, actually. Not the location part, but the gender breakup of who listens.
Actually, I wonder if Google Analytics can guess at any of this.
At gender? Probably.
Well, at age. Gender would probably be easier. I mean, I know it can. I wonder how accurate it is for us. Oh, apparently you have to opt into it, which I have not opted into. Demographics reporting.
Same.
Well, do it. I mean, it's creepy to do, so.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't do that to people.
And the eighth child thing was so funny. So funny.
Lol.
Lol.
Lol. Lol. Lol.
Okay.
even though things don't fit together, it still is able to affect us in really interesting ways.
Hey, Ashley.
I guess.
Ashley, yeah? When you do your transcripts, can you count how many times Jeffrey says interesting?
It's gonna be a point, I think.
Did I say it like 5 times in that last monologue?
You've said it a lot.
I wonder if QI is coming back soon.
What?
The QI. I know. It stands for quite interesting.
What?
It stands for quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm Ashley. I know things. You know nothing, Ashley McDonald.
Okay.
Ashley, you get that reference?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It was all over the internet.
Oh, I don't follow the internet.
I know.
Yeah, what the hell is the internet? I think the problem with Final Fantasy is they were like, we're going to do this completely different thing with this new world that we built, and then it just made no sense and was like not as fun gameplay-wise.
For 13?
Yeah.
I would argue the gameplay of 13 is the best part. The story is terrible. And I think a lot of people enjoy the gameplay and find the story bad. And, yeah, it's just like they spent so much time in development of 13 that they had to invest so much into it. It was natural to then make a sequel with similar assets and everything. And, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just a casualty of game development cycles lasting longer in the HD era as they were figuring out HD. And, yeah, now Final Fantasy Versus 13 is going to come out eventually as 15, and that's been development for probably like 7 years. So, yay. We're going on hiatus for a bit before starting 02. Like, We're going on a brief...
Are you slapping yourself?
What?